Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're delving into The Antidote by Oliver Berkman. This thought-provoking book challenges the conventional wisdom surrounding the pursuit of happiness. Berkman, an award-winning British journalist, argues that relentless positivity isn't just ineffective, it's often the obstacle. Instead, he proposes a counterintuitive, negative approach to happiness that advocates for the acceptance of failure, pessimism, insecurity, and uncertainty, elements of life we traditionally shy away from. The Antidote is perfect for listeners who are searching for sustainable happiness, especially those who find themselves disillusioned by the typical self-help mandates to relentlessly chase success. It's a must-read for anyone looking to understand happiness in a deeper, more realistic way. Through embracing the messiness and unpredictability of life, Berkman suggests we can find a more profound, enduring happiness. Join us as we explore how The Antidote provides an enlightening perspective on turning life's unavoidable challenges into unexpected wisdom, and ultimately a truly content life. The Antidote: Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. Introduction: Unmasking the Illusion, the Self-Help Industry's Empty Promises. The self-help industry, a multi-million-dollar juggernaut, fuels itself on the societal quest for happiness, an elusive, perhaps unattainable goal. Shelves after shelves are laden with books vowing to transform lives, foster success, and elevate mood, each one bursting with assertions of groundbreaking insights. Yet upon scrutiny, these proclamations are often found to be no more than a rehash of pedestrian advice, packaged beguilingly in new covers. Take, for instance, the iconic The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Widely regarded as a seminal guide in personal development, it essentially boils down to this: figure out what's important to you and dedicate yourself to it. It's straightforward and, arguably, instinctive wisdom rather than groundbreaking advice. Similarly, How to Win Friends and Influence People boils down to basic social civilities, like using people's names during conversation and being amiable, practices many would consider intrinsic to social interaction. However, the deviations from simplicity drift into more troubling territory: outright falsehoods. Many self-help books tout the so-called benefits of goal setting, often citing the Yale study of goals as testament to their doctrine. This study supposedly found that individuals from Yale's 1953 class who had clear, written goals accumulated significantly more wealth than their peers decades later. Yet this influential study is entirely fictitious, a fabricated piece of academic lore that never occurred. Beyond false narratives, these books frequently imply a direct correlation between wealth and happiness. This notion stands in stark contrast to a foundational discovery in happiness research. After attaining a basic income level necessary for comfort, additional wealth does not proportionally increase happiness. Moreover, global happiness surveys often reveal that some of the poorest nations report higher happiness indices. For example, despite widespread poverty costing less than $2 a day for most of its population, Nigeria ranked astonishingly high in a global happiness survey. Thus, while the shimmering allure of self-help advice beckons many, a critical evaluation reveals a landscape marred by banality, inaccuracies, and misleading correlations. This dissonance between the promises of the self-help industry and the nuanced realities of human contentment invites skepticism, urging us to look beyond the glossy covers and catchy titles for true fulfillment and understanding. Part 1: The Paradox of Chasing Happiness. In our relentless pursuit of perfection and happiness, we might actually be orchestrating our own discontent. This counterintuitive dilemma is succinctly captured by the ironic process theory, which suggests that the more we try to suppress or control certain thoughts or emotions, the more dominant they become. This idea is vividly illustrated in the scenario known as the White Bear Challenge, where being instructed not to think of a white bear only makes the image more persistent in one's mind. Similarly, the practice of using affirmations to boost happiness and self-worth often backfires, especially among those who might need them the most. Affirmations, positive, self-validating phrases repeated with the goal of ingraining them into one's psyche, often do not resonate with individuals who suffer from low self-esteem. For someone who feels inherently unworthy, repeating phrases like, "Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better," can feel like a stark lie, intensifying internal conflicts instead of soothing them. The dissonance between their perceived reality and the optimistic affirmations can actually reinforce their negative self-image rather than amend it. In several psychological experiments, individuals with low self-esteem who were prompted to affirm statements like, "I'm a lovable person," ended up feeling worse, not better. These activities forced a confrontation with their deep-seated negative beliefs, resulting in increased sadness rather than the anticipated euphoria of self-acceptance. This phenomenon shares a poignant reflection from an Edith Wharton character, who muses that while misery can be attained in many ways, true comfort comes from one source alone, ceasing the futile chase after happiness. This insight suggests that maybe happiness isn't something to be aggressively pursued, but rather something that unfolds through acceptance and contentment with the present, regardless of its imperfections. Part 2. Embracing failure as a fundamental part of life. In the world of self-help, success stories reign supreme, while tales of failure are conspicuously absent. The shelves are filled with narratives of individuals who risked it all and reaped immense rewards, or who overcame insurmountable obstacles through sheer perseverance. Rarely do we encounter accounts from those who pursued their dreams only to encounter defeat. This selective storytelling fosters a distorted reality that success is the only outcome of genuine effort and bravery. However, the truth is far more complex and humbler. Failure is an integral part of the human experience. This reality clashes with the ethos propagated by some self-help gurus who preach the elimination of any acknowledgement of failure. For instance, Dr. Schuller, an influential figure in the self-help community, dramatically declared at a motivational seminar that the word failure should be expunged from the dictionary. Ironically, shortly after this proclamation, Schuller himself filed for bankruptcy, a stark contradiction that underscored the impracticality of his advice. Moreover, the role of serendipity in what we often celebrate as success cannot be overstated. Many achievements attributed to skill or foresight are frequently the beneficiaries of good fortune. A revealing study on economic forecasters demonstrated this phenomenon. Those who made bold, headline-grabbing predictions were as likely to fail as they were to succeed. The media, however, tended to spotlight only the successful predictions, creating an illusion of predictive accuracy that belies the true role of chance in these outcomes. Acknowledging this inherent unpredictability and the inevitability of failure not only aligns with reality, but also equips us to cope more effectively with life's challenges. Ignoring or denying failure is akin to denying our mortality, a futile resistance against an immutable aspect of existence. By accepting and integrating the possibility of failure into our worldview, we cultivate resilience and a more profound, authentic form of optimism. Instead of fearing failure, embracing it as a natural, inevitable force can lead to a healthier, more balanced approach to life's ups and downs. Part 3. Finding peace in the acceptance of death and suffering. In contemporary society, there's a pervasive tendency to shy away from thoughts that provoke distress, notably those about death. Yet, trying to control or suppress such feelings is futile, as our emotional responses, especially to profound concepts like mortality, are beyond our direct control. Brené Brown, an expert on emotional vulnerability, posits that it's impossible to selectively numb our emotions. Attempting to isolate and discard feelings such as grief, fear, or disappointment, hoping to live without them, paradoxically intensifies these emotions. This mirrors the ironic process theory discussed earlier. The more we try to evade certain thoughts or feelings, the more entrenched they become. Echoing this sentiment, Thomas Merton, a revered writer and monk, noted in his memoirs that the sheer act of trying to escape suffering only deepens it. His observations suggest that acceptance rather than avoidance might lead to emotional liberation. Some cultures embrace rituals that reflect this philosophy by integrating the awareness of death into everyday life. For example, Mexico's Day of the Dead includes celebrations that actively engage with the theme of mortality. People honor those who have passed away with festivities that include symbolic foods like bone-shaped bread and sugar skulls, and activities that acknowledge death openly. This approach reflects a stark contrast to the more common denial of mortality found in many other cultures. Notably, Mexico often features among the happiest nations globally, indicating a possible correlation between the acceptance of mortality and overall contentment. This practice of confronting mortality is not new. The ancient Romans also embraced this concept. Among them, victorious generals would have slaves whisper, "Memento mori," remember, you are mortal, during triumphant parades. This practice served as a safeguard against hubris and a reminder of their inherent human vulnerability. By incorporating a mindful acknowledgement of death into our lives, we might find not despair, but a poignant appreciation for the transient beauty of life and a greater resilience against inevitable adversities. This philosophical stance suggests that by confronting what we fear, understanding it, and integrating it into our worldview, we could potentially ease our existential anxieties and lead more fulfilled lives. Part 4: Embracing the Art of Negative Capability in a World Riddled with Uncertainty. Life's only constant is its uncertainty. Tomorrow could bring a lottery win or an unforeseen accident. Such is the nature of our existence. Yet, despite this inherent unpredictability, we find ourselves relentlessly trying to dodge uncertainty. Our days are spent seeking resolutions for past issues or craving definitive answers where none exist. The concept of negative capability, a term originally coined by poet John Keats, refers to the ability to comfortably accept that not everything can be resolved or known. In today's context, it advocates for an acceptance of uncertainty and the complex emotions that accompany it, without the compulsion to resolve them. Psychologist Paul Pearsall introduced the term open-ture as a counterpoint to the concept of closure. Pearsall suggests that instead of striving to finalize every detail of our lives, to dot every I and cross every T, we should embrace the imperfections and the incomplete. This means acknowledging our negative thoughts without necessarily trying to correct them, thereby allowing ourselves to move forward with more authenticity and less self-imposed pressure. Historically, many philosophical and spiritual traditions have embodied practices that resonate with negative capability. The Stoics, for instance, found tranquility in accepting that while they could not control life's events, they could control their reactions to them, thus minimizing distress. Similarly, Buddhists practice observing the inner weather of their thoughts and emotions, preventing rash actions driven by unexamined feelings. Incorporating negative capability into daily life doesn't require adherence to ancient doctrines. Instead, it can be as simple as proceeding with a project despite unclear objectives, reflecting on personal failures without self-judgment, letting go of the urge to quash feelings of insecurity, or choosing practical action over motivational techniques. This philosophy or skill enriches personal resilience, offering a pragmatic approach to the uncontrollable aspects of life. By embracing the uncertainties and imperfections inherent in our experiences, we can navigate life with more ease and authenticity. Part 5. Challenge your fears by facing them. They're not as terrifying as you imagine. Fear is a universal human experience. Yet our individual fears can deeply influence how we live our lives. To counteract this, psychologist Albert Ellis, a champion of Stoic principles, advocated for directly confronting our fears to demonstrate how much they've been magnified in our minds. Ellis particularly encouraged those who feared public humiliation to engage in what he termed the subway station exercise. In this exercise, participants would ride the subway and announce the upcoming stations out loud, intentionally placing themselves in a situation they found embarrassing. Contrary to their fears, participants found that the actual experience of public embarrassment was far less catastrophic than anticipated. While uncomfortable, it was bearable and fleeting, starkly contrasting the intense anxiety previously associated with the thought of such acts. This practice, a form of what is known as negative visualization, helps to demystify and desensitize the fear surrounding certain experiences by proving that reality is often less harsh than our imaginations lead us to believe. This approach not only diminishes the power fear holds, but fosters a more profound, durable sense of tranquility compared to the fleeting reassurance that often accompanies positive thinking. Extending this tactic to other areas of life, we discover that many feared outcomes, such as job loss or failure, may not be as disastrous as we fear. Encountering and adapting to such situations can lead to unexpected opportunities, like pursuing a new career path or taking a well-deserved break. This technique is central to cognitive behavioral therapy, a psychological treatment that helps individuals challenge and change unhelpful cognitive distortions and behaviors, improve emotional regulation, and develop personal coping strategies targeting solving current problems. Ultimately, by courageously facing what frightens us, we learn that our worst fears are rarely as dreadful as we predict, helping to cut the ties between negative thoughts and the pervasive dread they can produce. This results in a more grounded, fearless approach to life's uncertainties. Part 6. Exploring happiness through acceptance of life's negatives. Contrary to popular belief, the pursuit of happiness isn't a universal ambition. Throughout history, various cultures, philosophies, and religions have found contentment by embracing life's challenges rather than shying away from them. The Stoics, renowned for their practical philosophy, actively visualized the worst possible outcomes. By doing so, they prepared themselves psychologically to handle any adversity, making real-life misfortunes seem less daunting compared to their imagined scenarios. This practice allowed them to maintain a certain tranquility through all of life's ups and downs. Buddhism takes a similar, yet distinct approach to confronting life's inherent negatives. Instead of directly visualizing adverse outcomes, Buddhists practice detachment and mindfulness. Through meditation, they learn to observe their thoughts and feelings without attachment, fostering a deep, intrinsic peace, regardless of external circumstances. This method was notably supported by a study conducted by psychologist Fadel Zeidan at the University of North Carolina in 2009, which found that individuals trained in meditation felt reduced pain from electric shocks, pointing to the power of mental non-attachment. Cultural traditions also reflect this philosophy. In Mexico, the Day of the Dead is a celebration that honors deceased loved ones, using festivities to acknowledge and appreciate death as a part of life's cycle. Similarly, the ancient Roman practice of memento mori, where generals were reminded of their mortality, served to ground their experiences and curb ego. These practices and teachings across different societies emphasize that true contentment possibly requires an encounter with life's darker aspects. Rather than skirting around them, acknowledging and understanding these aspects might be essential. This acceptance challenges us to redefine what happiness means and considers whether a meaningful life is not one devoid of negative experiences, but one that integrates them into a broader, more realistic appreciation of our existence. Part 7. Stoicism's Guide to Peace. Embrace adversity and reframe thoughts. The Stoic approach to life, as epitomized by figures like Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, advocates a serene engagement with life's inevitable challenges, suggesting that we can achieve tranquility not through avoiding troubles, but by transforming our perspective towards them. Marcus Aurelius famously remarked, "Things do not touch the soul. Our perturbations come only from the opinion which is within." This epitomizes the Stoic belief that external events themselves do not affect us. Rather, It is our internal reactions and beliefs about these events that cause distress. For instance, experiencing job loss or homelessness are, in Stoic terms, neutral occurrences. The hardship arises from our perceptions of these events. Stoics delve deeper into this philosophy with the practice of premeditation of evils or negative visualization. As outlined by modern Stoic scholar William B. Irvine, this technique is pivotal in the Stoic toolkit. By envisioning loss or failure before it occurs, we not only reduce the shock when it does happen, but also appreciate our current circumstances more profoundly. This concept is rooted in the understanding that all earthly things are temporary. As the ancient Stoic philosopher Epictetus advised, we should view attachments and possessions as items lent to us, not owned permanently. Moreover, Stoicism warns against the potential pitfalls of reassurance. While comforting someone by downplaying their fears might seem helpful, it can inadvertently confirm that their fears are indeed dreadful. This can heighten rather than alleviate anxiety. By suggesting that a feared event is not likely to occur, we reinforce the notion that it would be disastrous if it did, thereby increasing the person's underlying anxiety. In essence, Stoicism teaches that true peace comes from inside. By adjusting our beliefs and attitudes, rather than attempting to control the uncontrollable external world. By embracing and rationalizing our worries, rather than fearing them, we can achieve a state of profound inner calm. Part 8, Buddhist Wisdom. Observing our thoughts like transient weather patterns. Buddhism offers a profound insight into the human condition, our innate tendency to cling to people, situations, and possessions invariably sets us up for suffering due to the impermanent nature of life. Whether it's youth, beauty, or material wealth, our attachment to them intensifies our distress when they inevitably change or disappear. To address this inherent vulnerability, Buddhism teaches the practice of detachment, viewing our thoughts and emotions as ephemeral, much like the weather. Consider the sky, a constant presence, unaltered by the weather it hosts. Whether clouds, sun, or storms, the sky remains untouched. Similarly, Buddhist philosophy encourages viewing the human mind as the sky, with our thoughts and emotions as transient atmospheric events. This perspective is particularly useful when dealing with procrastination or lack of motivation. For instance, if you're avoiding an important task because you don't feel like it, Buddhism would suggest that this feeling doesn't need to dictate your actions. Instead of waiting for the motivation to appear, recognizing your reluctance as just another passing cloud allows you to move forward without being held back by the need for specific mental conditions. This approach doesn't imply that we should ignore our feelings or suppress our emotions. Rather, it means seeing them for what they are, temporary and not defining of our entire existence. By learning to coexist with these passing emotional states, we can maintain our actions and decisions in alignment with our values and goals, regardless of the weather inside us. In essence, Buddhism teaches us that by accepting both the good and bad moments and recognizing their impermanence, we can navigate life with greater ease and resilience, unswayed by the ever-changing nature of our internal experiences. Final summary. The central thesis of this book is a provocative one. Pursuing positive thinking might not only be ineffective, but could actually lead to greater unhappiness. Instead, it advocates for a negative approach. Recognizing and embracing life's inevitable adversities and uncertainties as avenues to true contentment. This approach is exemplified by philosophical and spiritual traditions such as Buddhism and Stoicism, which teach the value of detaching from emotions and expecting the worst, respectively. Throughout the book, several key questions are explored to dismantle the conventional pursuit of happiness. What's fundamentally flawed with the happiness industry? The self-help sector, with its glossy allure and promises of quick fixes, often falls short of delivering genuine happiness and may even propagate misconceptions about what happiness truly entails. Why might striving for happiness make us less happy? An intense pursuit of happiness tends to heighten awareness of what we lack, thereby increasing dissatisfaction rather than alleviating it. Why should we reconcile with failure? Accepting failure as a natural and inevitable part of the human experience can lead to a more realistic perspective and healthier psychological state. How can embracing life's negatives enhance our happiness? Engaging with life's darker aspects, such as death, suffering, and uncertainty, can ironically foster a deeper appreciation for life and equip us with resilience. How can confronting fears transform our perception? By facing our fears directly, we often discover that they are less daunting than anticipated, which diminishes their power over us. How do different cultures and philosophies integrate negativity to achieve happiness? From the Stoic practice of premeditation of evils to the Buddhist technique of observing thoughts as mere weather patterns, various traditions highlight the benefit of a grounded and realistic engagement with life's challenges. By weaving together these insights, the book provides a compelling argument for a paradigm shift in how we perceive and attain happiness. It suggests that by adjusting our expectations and learning to accept the imperfections and uncertainties of life, we might find a more authentic and lasting contentment. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.